This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
Time now for the Patriot League tournament coming up Thursday. It'll be Bucknell at American. Joining us, the head coach of Bucknell, John Griffin. John, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be with you. And it's wild how fast the season has seemingly gone.
Three consecutive wins. What are the common threads that you've seen in each of these three wins?
The common thread has been poise. I think that what I'm seeing with our team is a general confidence in one another. You can see it on the floor from body language. I think we spoke after losing a game to Holy Cross, and one of the things that was very apparent in that loss was just the dejected body language that I saw a little too often. I think that shifted a little bit to much more of a poised locker room where every possession is its own entity. So I see a group that's living in the moment, and I see a group that's concentrating on improving themselves individually and collectively. At this time of year, that's just critical.
You just brought up something in that answer about each possession is its own entity, which you and I both know at this time of the year is more critical than ever. It's one thing if John Griffin knows. It's one thing if Steve Jones knows. It's another thing if you've got to hold people in the locker room that are playing the game know it.
That's right.
That's always the key to it. Are there a couple of voices in there that get it, understand it, and can articulate it beyond your voice to the other players?
Yeah, that's become a little bit of an impactful factor for the last couple weeks. We have three seniors that are, you know, towards the end of their career here, they're definitely going to start to vocalize a little bit more what they think could be impactful as it relates to winning. But they're all kind of experiencing how to win together. There's 10 of the 14 players in the locker room were here last year. And at this stage last year, they were on the outside looking in a couple different ways. And really, it's just the ball didn't bounce their way throughout the course of the, you know, Patriot League play. But what happens is, talked about this a couple times, you're learning to win. And in learning to win, you have to experience some adversity so that these lessons can be a little bit, you know, they're not so much talking down to people. You're collaborating with them so the whole group can elevate itself. So what I've seen is just a group that's just continuously willing to listen and apply. And it's a really unique attribute of this group, being that, you know, I don't know these individuals. I haven't known them for very long. And they've been so open-minded and trusting. And right now, what I can tell you is they're very confident in each other, and they're very confident in our approach to the game on both offense and defense. So,
are you seeing a cohesion at both ends of the floor where practice is paying off and they instinctively know where they have to be most of the time in those situations?
Yeah. What I'm seeing is, I guess the word would be cohesion. I'm seeing a group of individuals that are trusting one another. Even when that word poise, it really shows itself in the moment where there's no bad body language. The next play is the most important play, and you continue kind of fighting through that mentality of a 4 minute or a 12 point shot or a 4 minute run. The game doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. But if you don't have the experience in being in those games and then winning those games, you might feel like there are 12 point shots, and there are not. So that's really what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing a group that comes to practice. They want to get better. They work hard at practice. They are very competitive at practice. And at this stage in the year, when you have a group that has that type of mentality, you know, they're putting themselves in a position to be successful.
All right. We get to this time of the year, and this is what I always call the trust time of the year. you can tell down the stretch and into the tournament which players coaches trust, because you will see a rotation get more condensed. Down the stretch, you were primarily playing nine guys over and over again. What does that tell us about your trust level in the nine guys that you're putting on the floor consistently? Because that hasn't really changed for you unless it was necessitated by injury.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. And I trust, honestly, we have 14 players on our team. I trust them all. I mean, we play Lafayette. I started our non-scholarship senior who has not played at all. And, you know, I, for whatever, non-cliche here, I trust them. You know, I put them out there for 2.5 minutes, and I didn't even blink, and that's because I trust them all. I think that I have a unique group that cares about one another, and again, they have this attitude of a willingness to accept the role and learn and be the best within it. So I do trust, and part of that trust has been built, Steve, because of injuries. There's been players that have been thrust into huge minute roles, and they're learning through adversity and through successes how to be consistent producers and how to help us win basketball games. And we hit a little bit of a rough patch, but I didn't feel, and the staff didn't feel like the results hurt the attitude of this group, and that's the reason that we currently, you know, have won three in a row, quite frankly.
I played American twice, including down there, and down there went to overtime, which meant a possession somewhere in there swung their way, did not swing your way. What kind of confidence does that give your team because you went down there toe-to-toe with them, and you ended up with the same conference record?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we lost three overtime games in the conference play, and had one of them, the ball bounced our way, we would have been in second place. Sole second place finisher. Unfortunately, that's the way the ball bounced, and I wouldn't change it for anything, because it's put us in the growth mindset and where we are right now, competitively speaking. So, you know what? It's a new season, and we'll learn, of course, and use the previous two games in part of. We're a different team than when we played them a month ago.
Yeah,
We had some injuries at that point. We're a different team than when we played them 2 months ago. And every step of the way, you know, you grow, and some teams' process moves faster than other teams. And so at this time of the year, my experience as a player and my experience as a coach is ultimately you have to be the best version of yourself. And you really don't want to get overly distracted with your opponent, because there's no magic wand. You have to play. You have to play the game. You have to be on offense. You got to be on defense. You got to trust one another. There's going to be possessions that are pretty sloppy and ugly on offense, and the players on the floor are going to have to have enough confidence to keep themselves organized and go out there and play as if you're in the playground. And you know, that's what you're going to see at this time of the year. And there's got to be a physicality as well. You have to rebound and you have to defend.
Look, this might be a better question from when the season's over with and you and I do a retrospective, but I'll ask it now, and then we can revisit it later. Any subtle adjustments by you as a coach as the season has gone along? Just subtle here and there as to how you approach certain things, this being your first time through?
Yeah, I would say that as the season has progressed, I've less of a play caller and allowed a little bit more of playmaking and been a little bit more entrusting. And, you know, I think during our losing skid right there, I think you know, internally what we were seeing is the players trying to navigate that a little bit, figure out how to still be offensively anyway, still be aggressive and get quality shots without a play leading to that shot. And I probably would have been a little bit more open-minded to that idea earlier. I would say maybe injuries contributed to the consistent amount of play calling that I did game in and game out. But that's really where there's been the most shift for me. And, you know, it's been through trial and error. It's been through trial and error. I'm very open about my learning curve with this, and I feel very comfortable right now where I sit and the mentality and the connection that I have with the players and their trust.
We can see it. The other element is you're a competitor. You know, you're from a family of competitors, so you hate to lose. I mean, hate it. Okay?
Yeah.
What has it taken for you to channel that and immediately get back to work? Because, okay, let's channel it and go to the next one. What does that take for a head coach to do?
Well, I think it's a great question. And I'm in a different position. So I'm a competitor, but ultimately I'm a teacher. And, like, I've been around the game my entire life. Mm. And I've seen some of them. College basketball's best coaches who hate to lose go through the emotional ups and downs. Speedy Morris and John Chaney and my father and Steve Lapis, like the big five when I was growing up, was intense. Like, these battles were almost like national championship level, regardless of record. So I've seen, like, you know, the emotional highs and lows, and I've also seen these head coaches wake up the next morning, continue with their routine, but also have a much bigger picture. It's not about them. So I've learned early in my lifetime, you're going to lose. That's part of the game. And now as a coach, I've had all these mentors contribute to who I am as the head coach of Bucknell. It is a competitive game. You are not going to win every one, but you have a job to do, and your job is to prepare your group of young men to move forward and be ready for the next one. And so if there's any saving element in there, it's like, it's not about me. It's not. It's about these players ready to go the next day. And there's something that if you really, as the head coach, jump into that world where your players know that you are with them side by side, you know, you can sleep well at night, the few hours that you sleep.
I do have to slip in one quick Speedy Morris story. I'm not going to give you the name of the player because you know who it is, but I'm not going to. Okay, but the audience doesn't. He's coaching women's basketball. Player comes to the sideline, taken out. She's crying. Speedy walks up to her. He says, "Why are you crying? Okay, the way you're playing, I should be crying."
Hey, listen, I've had some amazing mentors in my coaching career, and I have some really intense people. So I had Speedy Morris, Jim O'Brien, who was the head coach of the Celtics, who was the head coach of the Pacers. I mean, the intensity just kind of bleeds out of these individuals. I've been around John Chaney for a large portion of my early career as a player with my father, so I've seen the intensity, but, you know, there's a lot of funny stories that come from that stuff.
Yeah. One final question. You get, you know, so much of this is about matchups. Is there some matchup that they bring to the table that if you can overcome it and swing it your way, right, that maybe hadn't been swung your way before, that could make a difference for you?
Well, one of the things that they've done in these other two games is they've shot their 3-point percentage has been very good. So we're going to have to do a much better job of defending the 3-point line, as well as limiting their transition points. They play pretty fast, and they're very opportunistic offensively in the transition game. So we're going to have to do a really, really good job for 40 minutes of limiting both the three-point and transition points. And then on offense, we're going to have to play. You know, you have to play to win. In this time of year, you play to win. You can't play not to lose. And it's very real. This time of year comes with some added pressure. Of course, everyone talks about March Madness, and there's all this external noise. But the best teams that I've been a part of, both as player and being a coach, has a group of individuals that are just so confident in one another and confident in the coaching staff and the scheme. And then they play the game. And whatever kind of unfolds throughout the course of the game, they remain confident. And sometimes the ball doesn't go in, but that can't be the determining factor as to whether you're putting yourself in a position to win or lose. So transition defense, three-point percentage defense, and then we're going to have to be an aggressive basketball team.
John, thanks so much for all the time. You gave us a lot of time today. Really appreciate it. Good luck on Thursday night down at D.C.